You're listening to
Greetings, one and all. Welcome to Sci-Fi Dig Show 326. I am your host, Aaron Makem. This week, I am not going to talk about Fringe. Now, I know that I have a lot of Fringe lovers out there who might be a little bit disappointed, but I like to break up the shows a little bit. And this week I did a show with my friend Bruce, and we've been talking about doing one for a while now, talking about technology. So I recorded that, and I'm going to drop that in here. We have a couple news stories I want to talk about. But we talk about different tablet devices and phones, etc., and just how we use them and some of the apps on there and things like that. I know that a lot of the Sci-Fi Dig listeners, as well as a lot of people in general, are kind of, moving to a more minimalist type of situation where they're not buying all the DVDs and all the, different trades. I mean, not buying physical stuff, but still able to enjoy it by watching it on their, Kindles or iPads or Android devices. And so we've been kind of wanted to talk about a little bit about that, and also the creative end of it. Now, we didn't have a whole lot on the creative end because I didn't have a creator on here. But anyway, that's what's coming up. We have a lot of good news stories that I'm real excited to talk about, and I'm going to get to that in 1 second. But first, let's do some DVD releases. These are going to be for March 25th. We don't have a lot of stuff coming out, but we do have some good things. Well, we have a few. Well, I'm sorry, not the 25th, the 19th. We do have a few good things. Now, of course, the big one's going to be The Hobbit. And we have variations of that. We have the DVD release. I'm sorry, the DVD Blu-ray combo pack. The ultimate release with like 5 discs. And I think there's a 3D one in there. All these different ones. Now, I'm kind of assuming that we're going to get an uncut version at some point in time. I have not seen The Hobbit, and although I want to see it, I'm not quite sure if this is going to be a rental for me, depending on the time frame. But I figure that we're going to get something uncut, and I'm not going to do that like I did with Lord of the Rings when I bought that and then had to go back and buy the uncut versions. So I think I might wait on that. I just haven't decided, but I haven't seen it yet, and I do want to take the opportunity to sit down and watch it. Now, we have a couple of interesting releases. A couple of these I have not seen. As far as sci-fi is concerned, we have Time Rider coming out, and I don't think I've ever seen this film. I don't think I've ever heard of it. Possibility I might have seen it on cable, but I think I would remember it. This is from 1982. It's starring Fred Ward. I'm going to read you the synopsis here. Lyle Swan is a champion off-road racer who accidentally gets zapped into a time travel experiment and sent 100 years into the past. When a gang of brutal bandits steals his motorcycle, Swan must outsmart the local cowboys and submit to the desires of a beautiful outlaw woman. Armed with only his wits and a map from an Exxon station, will Lyle Swan survive the Wild West and get back to his future? This has been released by Shout Factory, and I don't think it's a buy for me. Definitely something I want to like to see. I mean, I love some of these 80s science fiction films. I think that I'm just a big fan of seeing what they were able to do, considering the a lot of the limited budgets that they had. We're going to get Porky's on Blu-ray and Zero Dark Thirty as well. And another film that I came across here, I have never heard of this. Grave of the Vampire from 1972, and I need to read a synopsis of this too in case somebody out there is interested. It's a cult film, obviously. It's the 40th anniversary edition, considered by many as one of the greatest cult movies of all time. Grave of the Vampire finally arrives in a widescreen anamorphic edition from a 35mm high definition transfer, starring B movie icon William Smith. This film shocked audiences 40 years ago when the young mother of a vampire baby began nursing it with her own blood. Grim and grisly, it quickly became a cult favorite through frequent midnight movie showings and television airings. Also starring some people I don't care about. The DVD also includes the original theatrical trailer. Now, if you live in get your stuff from Amazon UK, which would be Australia and the UK, obviously, you're going to get a couple of interesting things. You're going to get Lego Star Wars The Empire Strikes Out. You're going to get that a week before we get it. You're going to get Silent Hill Revelations is going to be available. Also, wow, that's no Doctor Who this week. What's up with that? that seems to be about it, actually. Yeah, not a whole lot of science fiction coming your way. Oh, Android Insurrection. No idea what this is. Looks kind of interesting. And yep, that's about it. Little disappointing. I'm looking through here. No Doctor Who. Anyway, I'm always amazed by some of the stuff that Amazon UK lists in their DVDs. I know I said this before, but they just list straight up porn here. This is crazy. That's weird. Anyway. So, a couple of stories that came out, and one of these I am super, 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 super excited about. Veronica Mars movie is going to be a go. Now, as you know, if you listen to the show long enough, you will know that although Veronica Mars doesn't necessarily fall lock, stock, and barrel into the science fiction wheelhouse, but considering that the first season she kind of is seeing a ghost. So I kind of included it, but I put off watching this until season two started, and I went back and watched season one. I think it has some of the best writing of any television ever, period, the end. I think that they do a really good job of tying everything together. A lot of things I didn't see coming, that just everything just meshes together. Now, season one and two are a lot stronger than season three were, but really, really dig this show. Was surprised at how much I liked it. Recently, 6 or 7 months ago, I bought everything on DVD. There was a couple of, and if you're interested, usually Amazon has some sales, but also WB shows or WB site you can go to, and they offer DVDs on there. You have to wait for kind of a good deal for the free shipping and whatnot, but they do have some deals on there, and a lot of times it's a little bit, you might be able to get a pick up a season a few dollars cheaper than you can get it on Amazon. I'm having to make frequent pauses, and you'll notice that also in the conversation I have with Bruce, because I don't know if the dog ate, I don't know, a gallon of coffee or something, but she's been super hyper these last couple days. So when I get done with this, her and I are going to go for a couple mile walk, because my game plan is to wear her out. She's a sweetheart, but oh my God, she's got way too much energy. Anyway, so what happened is... Rob Thomas and Kristen Bell announced a Kickstarter campaign, and they had to reach $2 million to finance a Veronica Mars movie. They set, I'm trying to find a time frame. I think it was like 6 months or something like that, or 6 weeks, or I don't know what it was, but they did it in 11 hours. Okay. So, Rob Thomas says, "My mind is blown. I've been fantasizing about this and had to tell myself, stop it, Rob. You're being silly. You're setting yourself up for disappointment. And now, today has exceeded the wildest pipe dream I let myself entertain. Holy cow, we better make a good movie. These amazing fans have stepped up. We better deliver." The thing that I thought was interesting about this is the goal was to raise $2 million in 30 days. Warner Brothers Digital Distribution agreed to put the movie into production and pick up the tab for marketing, promotion, and distribution. But exhibiting a passion that broke Kickstarter records in just 6 hours, fans have been flocking to the site since the page went up at 7:30 a.m. And even though the goal has been reached, pledges can keep coming in. I am pretty excited about this for a lot of different reasons. First of all, it's Veronica Mars, and I would love to see a direct DVD, even if it's not in a, you know, it's not. It doesn't seem to me like it's going to be a theatrical release, but rather a direct DVD release. And I am pretty excited about the fact that that this has been done, because I would like to see more Veronica Mars. And I was kind of bummed out when it was canceled, because they were really doing some good stuff. But the other thing is if this shows you that fans want this sort of thing, imagine all of the series that, you know, I'm sure Firefly is popping into everybody's heads. But imagine all the series you could put together and get some final stories on. You know, Alpha's anyone, or, you know, Firefly, or, you know, Firefly kind of had its own finale with the movie. But, you know, I'm thinking more along the lines of people who have watched series and they abruptly got pulled, and, you know, you want the ability to go to see how the story would have ended, you know, and being able to put like a 2-hour movie together on DVD so that fans can get, you know, can get what they're looking for, that closure that they need. I think it's a great idea. But I'm really interested to see where this is going to go. I could not believe when I saw this news. I had no idea that this even went up. And by the time I came up, by the time I came home from work, the news was everywhere. And I'm really excited about it. You can go to, I believe, the WB's website and watch all of the Veronica Mars on their streaming. I would say that unless you're really good at sitting there and focusing on your computer, that it's, you know, the Veronica Mars is something that, again, you cannot, not as in-depth as Fringe is, and a lot more fun. But with all the twists and turns the stories take, I think it's kind of, I think it's kind of important that you pay attention to what's happening, because it could very easily, you could be like, what happened? Where did this person come from? And things like that. But every episode has her doing like some detective work or something, and her father plays a detective, and great acting and great writing. Again, Veronica Mars is in my top five all-time favorite television shows. They just did such a great job with that. The other bit of news, and then I'm going to get to the meat of the episode here, is author and screenwriter Seth Graham Smith has been given the task of resurrecting our favorite bio-exorcist for the big screen. But things have been quiet as a crypt lately until now. Obviously, clearing off his plate after work on Dark Shadows, Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, and a Fantastic Four polish, the Twisted writer posted a photo to his Twitter feed of someone in the iconic black and white Beetlejuice suit with a clawed hand gesturing to a blank Apple computer screen with the line, "It's showtime." So they've been talking very much, you know, since I think way back in 2011, they've been talking about doing a sequel to Beetlejuice. And what is funny is I'm reading you this news now, and one of the topics that comes up during Bruce's and I conversation is I'm talking about the Beetlejuice box set that is going to be available. Here very shortly. It's going to be sold exclusively through Amazon. Shout Factory finally has got an entire series set together, all 92 or 94 episodes. It was ran for 4 seasons, and it was one of the few shows to run on 2 networks simultaneously. It ran on Fox Kids during the day and ABC. Fox Kids during the afternoon and ABC on Saturdays. And the Beetlejuice cartoon is one of the first times that I realized that, you know, that I got a handle on stylized animation. It was the animation was very different than anything you saw out there. And at first I didn't quite like it, or I wasn't quite sure. And then it really grew on me, and I really dug the fact that they did something a little bit different. But at any rate, it was funny because I that came out, and then this news came out just the other day. And I'd like to see a Beetlejuice, a sequel. I mean, I just love that movie. And, you know, I know that they're going back to the well again and again for remakes and sequels and things like that. But I think if they take their time and put it together well, that it will do very well, because I think there's still a pretty big fan following for Beetlejuice. Anyway, that's all the news that I have. So let's jump into the meat of the episode where Bruce and I have a discussion about technology and tablets and things like that. Hey, everyone, and welcome to a special episode of Sci-Fi Dig. Maybe, possibly, we will get more people to... I sent out an email to the group today that I was doing this, and so maybe we'll get a couple other people that I want to come and chat. But I'm talking with Bruce today. We're just talking... We've been spending a lot of time talking back and forth privately about technology. It's, you know, just the different things that we use to, you know, enjoy our science fiction, and... it also kind of make life a little bit easier. You know, I mean, I'm, you know, for me, I think it's, you know, we're living in a time where, point of sale is, it's all about convenience, you know, for us. I mean, you're willing to give up a little of something to make things more convenient, 'cause, you know, we're all busy. You know, I don't understand how we're all busier than ever before in our lives or ever before the history of the world, but we all just have no time to do anything, you know? But with that being said, you know, I'm sure that we'll go down a couple of, rat holes our own. But so Bruce, besides, I know you have a Kindle Fire and you have an iPad, mm-hmm. and you have an iPhone. Mm-hmm. What else do you have?
That I use?
Yeah.
Well, I have the iMac. I have a MacBook Pro. That's about it. Well, you know, the iPhone, the iPad, and the Kindle Fire. But the Kindle Fire I rooted. So now it's just basically an Android device.
Right. And, you know, the one downside to rooting the Kindle Fire, at least that I've – the one downside that I've come across – I mean, I haven't. I got. That's why I got. My daughter has a Kindle Fire, and she does. She does enjoy reading on it. And you know, and for kids, the Kindle Fire is fantastic because not only is there a lot of free books, but it's just the way you can kind of lock it down so that they can just go and do whatever they want online is really nice. And before I go down that road, let me finish my first train of thought before I get on this rat hole where I'm headed to. But. Amazon does have a nice magazine store, and once you root the Kindle Fire, that kind of goes away. You don't have that. You don't seem to have access to that magazine store anymore. But when the Kindle Fire came out, it was like everybody's listening to this show. There's going to be periodic times where I'm going to disappear because I'm going to kill this dog in about a minute. I have no idea what has gotten into her today, but oh my God, is she riled up? I mean, she is into everything, and she's not normally like this. She's just, I don't know. I think she's mad because their dog won't play with her because their dog's 100 and just wants to be left alone.
Right.
Anyhow, the Kindle Fire, you know, it first came out, everybody was kind of ragging on it. They didn't like it. They thought, you know, it was underpowered and we ordered one right away. I thought that'd be perfect for my daughter because she loves to read, and we all read on our phones. We always usually read books on our phones, but let's face it, if you're reading something other than a book, you know, if you're reading a PDF, if you're reading a magazine or something, the phone's just not going to cut it. I mean, it's okay. You can use it in a pinch, but you know, once you, it's kind of like reading a Kindle book on your phone and then getting the iPad and opening the same Kindle book on the iPad and you see all the nice formatting and everything and how beautiful it looks. You know, I mean, granted, you know, with a book, it's just like, you just want to read the words anyway. And I still prefer my phone over everything else. But I thought for her, it'd be nice because she can have her, you know, let's make her own account. She can, we'll give her a little money every month and she can buy some books because I've never said no to a book. You know, my daughter, my daughter wants to read stuff. She wants, as a matter of fact, her birthday was yesterday and we got her a gift card for Barnes and Nobles and we're driving to Pittsburgh today to do a couple things. And I told her she can go in there and knock herself out. But this is going to be one of those pausing times. So if you want to vamp, you go ahead and do that.
Well, you know, the reason I have a Kindle Touch, but the reason I got the Kindle Fire was because I thought that the backlit screen and everything would be, you know, a lot better for me. Actually, it seems to tire my eyes out, so I tend to read on the Kindle Touch anyway. The Kindle Fire has a limited amount of programs that you can download to it. Yes, it's a Android device, but you can't download other things. In fact, if I want to read an EPUB, I can't read it because there's no software for me to read an EPUB. So eventually I got talking to a guy at work who said he could, you know, I looked online and I thought about, you know, doing the rooting myself, but it looks more work than I'd like to get involved in. I mean, everybody thinks I'm a tech geek, but I don't really get into that kind of stuff very easily. I'm not good with instructions. So I just, you know, had somebody do it for me and I gave him $20 and he was happy to do it. So, but, that said, you know, like I said, there was a lot of things I couldn't do on the Kindle that I can do with the Android device. But one of the downsides, of course, to any Kindle device, I think, is that, or I'm sorry, any Android device, is that each one is configured differently. So some programs won't work and some programs will. And I'm sure we'll get into that. But are you back yet, Aaron?
Yeah, I'm here. I don't know. Okay. The dog is currently eating the floor. I'm like, whatever. I have no idea what. I don't know. She's got something over there. She seems entertained. I'm just going to let it go. I don't care.
Yeah.
This point, it's the basement. I don't care.
Yeah, I just didn't want to start getting into the pros and cons of you know, the different devices.
Yeah, well, I was trying to figure out how to mute my microphone on here, and I just now figured it out. I know everybody complains about new Skype. Okay, I'm going to be one of those people right now. I just need to figure out the controls. It just seems like there's a lot more big icons and windows than there used to be. And I don't have as I don't want that. I like text. Give me yeah, more things that I can click on and control. But anyway, yeah, you know, and that was You know, I have an iPad and I absolutely love it. Okay. I mean, I cannot state enough how much I enjoy reading magazines on it, how much I enjoy reading comics on it.
Absolutely.
And like my thing, one of the things that I do is as I get older and I accumulate piles and piles of stuff that I, you know, for some reason wanted, but I don't think I want anymore. You know, I would, you know, like one of the things I do is like all the new things that, you know, we buy, like we buy a new refrigerator or a new lawnmower or, you know, if I get a new piece of equipment for my camera, everything comes with a manual, right? Well, now I just go and I find a PDF version of the manual. I put it in my Dropbox. It just lives there. And exactly. Anytime I want to know something, I just pull it up on the iPad and I can go ahead and throw the paper manual away. And that's what I do now. So I have my parts list for stuff when I'm in the store and I'm like, I need a new belt for the mower. It's like, hang on. I'm like, what kind of mower you got? I was like, I don't know. Give me a second. And I pull it up on my phone and boom, there I am, you know? And, you know, I like that part of it. Nothing beats the iPad as far as I'm concerned when it comes to reading comics. Okay. I mean, I've tried a whole lot of things now, but the iPad, both using Comixology and using the Comic Zeal reader, as far as I'm concerned, nothing beats it. Every Comic Zeal works fantastic. You know, I mean, one of the creators used to listen to the show. He was a big Babylon 5 fan, but I haven't talked to him in a while. I wish that they made that for the Android device. I recently bought a Nexus 7 because I wanted something I wanted something that I could take on vacation. Because the problem is you know, with a lot of the iOS devices, it's all about fit and finish and not about, you know, it's not as open as I would like it to be. And I wanted something that when I went on vacation, I didn't want to take my laptop. I wanted to be able to offload my camera photos and basically do a little bit of editing if it was possible. My big thing was I want to be able to tag. I wish I could tag all the photos and then import them all into my computer when I come home. And I wouldn't, because tagging everything's a pain in the butt. And I thought, well, if I can just tag the photos, and the Nexus 7 is nice and small, it's 32 gigs. For 32 gigs for $250, you really can't beat the price. It's really nice. I'm enjoying it for what I wanted it for. I can plug a camera card into it. You know, you have to buy a dongle and you have to download an app. It's like $3. Mm-hmm. I plugged in a 1 terabyte hard drive and was able to read it, you know. But I can do all those things and I downloaded probably 4 or 5 different comic readers, and all of them have things I like and all of them have things I hate, but nothing works as well as Comic Zeal and nothing looks as good as the iPad because of the screen size. Now, yeah. If I had a 10-inch Android tablet, that might be different, but I don't. So that's going to, you know, it's not really, I really can't do a comparative there. Also, you know, so I've tried different things, and I wanted something that was cost effective for me to be able to do this, and I've been really enjoying the Android experience. Now, you know, I don't want it just to turn into a conversation about Android versus iOS. I know some people like to do that, and here the thing is you know, I'm glad it's all there. I hope everybody continues to improve on what they have because competition is good for everybody, and you know, you just use what you can use, people. I mean, don't let somebody tell you that. You know, this tablet or that tablet, you know, doesn't work unless they can tell you what it is that you don't like about it. Like, I still understand why people don't like the original Kindle Fire. I mean, it does everything I want it to do. Yeah, it's a little slower, but it turns the pages on the books. It, you know, I can read magazines on it. I can watch video on it. I can do, you know, the things that I want to be able to do, you know. So I'm not quite sure. I know a lot of people, I talked to some people like, well, you know, I haven't heard very good reviews of that. And I'm like, well, at the time I was like, it was $150. I'm like, you know, go for it. I'm like, you know, you go and try it. And then if you don't like it, you know, or if you want something more powerful later on, you can always get something more powerful. You're always going to be able to read books on it, you know. You're always going to be able to, you know, read comics or, you know, buy stuff from the Kindle store on it if you'd like, you know. Mm-hmm. But,
well, you know, I think the advantage to an iPad is the hardware and the software are together. You know, you have one device that runs the software. You never have any problem with that. But that said, you know, it costs $500.
Right.
If I can go out and buy a 9-inch tablet for $98 or $118, which I can, I just saw them on a website. I won't mention it unless you want me to, but there's a website that has daily deals every day. And I read these and I'm like, you know, I'm not sure that I would spend $500 on a tablet anymore. You know, as much as I love my Macs and my Apple because they do what I want them to do when I want them to do it. I might be willing to, you know, on a tablet especially, I might be willing to, you know, to dumb it down a little bit. You know, it just, it depends on what you want to do with it. You know, do your research, find out what you want to do with it, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing. And that's what I was just telling my wife. I said, you know, my iPad, you know, the biggest thing I do is read magazines and comics. I mean, that is the biggest thing that I do. And I do web browsing on it as well. But for me, it's always been like the ultimate consumption device. Well, the problem is like, you know, my iPad's a first generation. It doesn't have very much memory on it.
Same here.
And, you know, the problem that I found was like some of the more creative apps that would create on would run kind of sluggish, and they took up so much room that I had to go in and take off a lot of the media I had. You know, not mostly all I have is comics on there. I mean, I have some, like for me, I have some of the, remember, you know, Marvel had a lot of the comics on discs. Remember they sold those box? Mm-hmm. Well, they were PDFs, but for some reason, I don't know why, but if I put the PDFs on in the iPad, it doesn't put that big, gigantic watermark all over them, and you can actually read them.
Yeah.
And but they take up a lot of room. But see, once I went to all the trouble to load all those and organize them how I wanted them, it's like I don't really want to delete those every time I want to try to create something. But I've noticed that, you know, some of the bigger files now, it takes a little bit longer for a page turn, you know. And I made the mistake of going to the Apple store. I had a friend that had to exchange something there. We went there, and I was playing on the iPad Mini. It was something I didn't think I wanted. And after I play with it, I really liked it. I like, you know, there's things about it that I really enjoyed that I wish that I had. Now, I wouldn't go with the Mini if I was going to get one. I want to get a new iPad at some point. I've already started a fund. I think I have like $11 in there, so another 20, 30 years. But what I would like to be able to do is do more of GarageBand stuff and do more photo stuff, you know, photo editing on the iPad. And I would just go for... Like I don't need a cellular radio in there. I just need Wi-Fi. That's all. That's good for me.
Right.
But you know, it's funny because it's like my use case has changed. It's like now rather than consuming, I want to create content. I need some more power. I need a little bit more room. I need some more maneuverability than what I had before. And so now, that's kind of what I'm looking at to do in the future, you know. But I would never part with my first iPad. I mean, because it's the perfect – I mean, I just love it. I mean, I take it with me everywhere I go. I always have comics on there. I always have magazines on there. And, you know, I wish that there was a better magazine system than what there is. Now, comics, you know, Comixology, you know, technology, you know, and as far as, like, you know, being able to read stuff – you know, right now, you know, we are the ultimate consumers. We want what we want. We want it right now, you know.
And yeah.
But, you know, like Comixology, I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't want to sound like I'm knocking the app, okay, because I love Comixology. I use it a lot. I buy the 99-cent sales whenever they come out. But here's the thing. I would, as time goes on, and I've really started enjoying some of these digital first comics that are 99 cents, and I get excited every week when a new one comes out, and I buy it when I get up in the morning, and I'm like, okay, I got, you know, 20 minutes to read this comic. I'll go and I'll buy it, and I get all excited about, you know, because it's like my own personal comic shop, you know, that I don't have to leave my house to go to. You know? And I'm really enjoying that experience, and I would like to buy some of the other stuff on there, but at $2 and $3, the price point's a little high for me, or $4 for some of the things. But here's the thing. There's no guarantee that these comics are going to be here tomorrow. Comixology could go out of business. Do you think that they're going to release the DRM? No, I'm sick of the DRM. I'm sick of having to deal with that. And here's, you know, and what kills me, and they just don't get it, is it's like every comic that they put up there, I can find somewhere. And I can download it illegally, and the quality is better. And I can do whatever I want with it. And I can back it up if I want to. And I can, you know, but... With all that being said, it's not nowhere near as easy. And that's what they're trying to do, is just make it ease of use. Like I go to, you know, I usually buy iTunes cards. The only thing I buy on iTunes usually is comics and apps. I don't buy music on iTunes. I usually don't buy video on iTunes. But so every time somebody gives them to me, I just put them in my account. And then I go through the app on Comixology. I make the purchase because I can use the iTunes card for that. And then I have it on my Nexus. I don't really read the comics on the computer because the Comixology app for your computer, it really is a piece of crap. It is really bad. I don't understand how they can make an iPad app so good and the web version just is horrible. but, you know, for my other devices, you know, it's there. I just click a button, it downloads, and I'm good to go. And it's just ease of use, and it keeps track of everything. I can delete all the comics off my device, but they're still in my account if I want to download them again. And all this is presuming that they're going to be in business tomorrow or next year or the year after, you know?
Exactly.
And so it's kind of like, you know, everybody says, well, you're running the comics, you're not really buying them. And I agree with that. I wish that there was a more – I wish they had more faith in their customers, the big companies, and let us just do what we want to do with the comics, you know? You make a fair price, I'll buy them for you. Buy them from you, no problem, you know? At 99 cents – I'll rent them, you know, and, you know, for an indeterminate amount of time, if they decide they no longer want me to have ownership of that, you know, but it's all about easy use. And I think that that's what these companies are realizing, that it's easy, you know, and I know that they try to do the same thing with video, but for me, that doesn't really work. Like the video part of stuff like streaming stuff and all, I mean, I do enjoy Netflix. I do enjoy Amazon. But the thing is I have DSL, so I can enjoy those as long as I'm not updating my OS, as long as I'm not having a Skype call, as long as I'm not doing, you know, uploading photos or uploading a podcast. I can enjoy streaming. But if I'm doing those things, then I can't. So it doesn't really work for me, because you have to have that constant connection. You can't just download something. You have to have that constant connection. And that's, you know, one of the drawbacks, you know, to video. I mean, the ease is there as far as getting it, but the actual getting it gets a little more complicated. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and it's unfortunate that when somebody does put something out at a fair price, I downloaded it's a collection of Dick Briefer's Frankenstein stories. There were 8-12 page stories that were in Prize Comics back in the 40s. And this guy collected them all, put them, you know, cleaned them up nicely, put them in an edition. The 147 page thing was $2.99. And some knucklehead downloaded it and then sent the password to all his friends, who then, you know, a whole bunch of people downloaded it on this one guy's password. And it was like, it's $2.99, for God's sake, you know? I mean, go buy it, you know, help this guy out, you know, support him. So then he has to go through this rigmarole, sending you a password and you know, it can only be downloaded so many times. And I felt bad for the guy, because, I mean, I thought he was doing me a favor, you know, selling me this thing for $2.99, you know? I mean, I don't necessarily have a problem. Like, you know, my son and I trade comics back and forth. You know, he buys stuff that I don't buy. I buy stuff that he doesn't buy. We just trade them back and forth. I mean, no big deal. But I mean, not when you pass out the password, you know, the download link to, you know, 100 people. That's ridiculous, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And the thing is like, I know that with, like, you know, Comixology, I know some people we'll just share their login info. You know, if it's a family, and I'll be like, okay, you have your account, I have my account. You know, here's my login info. I bought this today. Go ahead and go read it. But it's no different than if I bought the comic and a paper edition and I gave it to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's limits to, you know, everything.
Right. And I don't, you know, you try to be honest. You try to support the creators as much as you can.
Yeah.
It's just that I think it's one of those situations where you had one person spoil it for everybody,
yeah,
and now everybody's paranoid. But that's even like a lot of these independent guys that are doing stuff, you know, and they put their stuff up as PDFs, you know, and I love that because I can do whatever I want to do with that. I can back that up. I can put that on multiple devices. I can just leave it in my Dropbox, mm-hmm. You know. But, you know, you're charging me 99 cents or $1.50 for a PDF comic. I mean, I'm not going to – you're an independent dude. I'm not going to share that with anybody. I'm not going to, I'm not going to give that away, because that's how you're making your money and you're trying to create this and it's a buck, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. Come on, if it's a buck. I mean, if you get a buck to pay for your internet service to illegally download the stuff, then you get a buck to buy the comic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about comic, but like $1 is a good price point for me. I know some people can argue that, and I know you and I are in agreement on that, but like I shop the sales all the time, and I've actually bought enough stuff that I have a couple volumes of the new Star Trek comic that I haven't that I bought when they were on sale, and I've only read like 10 pages of. Mm-hmm. I still have the entire. I bought 55 issues of Grimm's Fairy Tales for like $40-some. It was Omnibuy. I bought two Omnibuy, I've read, you know, and I have a lot of those issues, but I just wanted a nice digital format, you know, and it works really well, the panel by panel stuff. And I was kind of surprised the other day. I was listening to a podcast and somebody was saying they didn't like the panel by panel. And I think that's crazy talk.
Oh, my gosh. You know, when you first mentioned it to me that you liked that panel by panel, I was like, oh, I don't think that's going to work for me. And I just happened to be someplace. I was eating lunch, and I downloaded a comic onto my iPhone. And I started reading it panel by panel. And I quickly realized that I am now concentrating on one panel. My eye's not all over the place on the page. You know, when I get done with the six panels or whatever on the page, I have it set to show me the whole page.
Right, that's how I
want
mine.
To see the layout and all that kind of stuff. You know, because I'll call myself an artist, but you know, I have that eye, you know, and I want to see what the whole page looked like. But to read it panel by panel is, I don't know, I concentrate on it better.
Yeah, I like it, and I like the fact that every single panel is a reveal, and I think it's that much more exciting. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, one of the best comics to read panel by panel that I really enjoyed was they had a sale. I mean, this was like last year on Chew, and I've talked about Chew on the show. I love that comic, and I bought, I don't know, I think there was 5 volumes available at the time, and so I bought all of them. Mm-hmm. And he does so much stuff with the background art, so many little in-jokes, so many little things on the walls. You know, one of my favorite scenes is he's in a movie theater, and one of the guys that he's having like this, you know, this secret meeting, and one of the guys is dressed up like a mechanic, and his name tag says Hollis Mason on it, and you know, and you really notice that in the panel by panel stuff, you know, and I really enjoy stuff like that, and I think that more and more people will spend time putting little Easter eggs in there because you're actually zoomed in on this panel on a, you know, a 10-inch display. You can really check that out, and that panel is very large when you think about it, you know, on a 10-inch display, and no matter which way you hold the iPad, it seems to work pretty well. I really enjoy that, and as time goes on and with Comixology, I know there's other ones out there, but Comixology is the main one I've been using because it has a lot of the stuff that I want. I read a lot of Image. I read a lot of Dynamite and stuff like that, you know, and a lot of the independent stuff. And it seems as though Comixology has a pretty good – when I say independent, I mean like the bigger independent companies. They seem to have a lot of those books, and so I'm rather enjoying buying those on there. And like the independent stuff, I'll pay $2 an issue for stuff, you know.
Sure.
But – you know, I'm not going to pay, you know, like I'll even buy the DC stuff after it drops in price. Unfortunately, Marvel doesn't do that, and that's why I don't buy any Marvel. If it's 99 cents and it's something I want to read, I'll pick it up when they have their Monday sales, but I don't buy anything remotely current because I'm not paying $3 and $4 for a digital comic. I'm just not.
Almost all of their comics are $3.99 with including a free digital download. So why not buy the comic that you may be able to sell down the road for $1 or 50 cents? You know? I mean, if they want to shaft them, that to me is just idiocy.
Yeah.
You know? If you're going to give me the download for free for buying the comic book, why not sell it to me for $1 less, you know, or two? Well, I mean, I'd prefer much less than that, but you know, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, and like the DC books, what they do is like after 2 months or whatever, they drop down to $1.99, you know, mm-hmm. and I like that because I can go back and I can pick those up. And so the problem is there's so many good comics to read, so many things that I want to read that there's no sense in me. Like if it's a sale, I'll buy it because I'll get it for 99 cents. It's not going to be that again for a while. So I'll buy 3 or 4 of them or I'll buy the trades, the digital trades, and I'll just have them in my account. But like the DC stuff, it's like, why pay full price when I have all this other stuff to read? I just wait till the price falls, and then I won't be current. I'll be a couple months behind, but it doesn't matter. I don't have to be current. It doesn't matter to me. You know what I mean? It's all about easy use, and I don't understand why Marvel's not grasping that more. And I'm curious as to what, you know, I can't decide if part of that reason is because since they're giving away the digital codes, I know a lot of people buy the books and then give the digital codes away. I mean, one of the things that's taken off in comic podcasting right now is they have little contests where they give you the free digital code, so you can buy the comic for free because they have all the, you know, people buy the paper versions, get the digital codes, and they give them out. You know, and I'm curious if, you know, if that's why Marvel keeps everything the way it is, because they know people are going to share those codes. There's nothing they can do about that. You know, if I want to give you the code, they can't stop you. I mean, not that we can both use it. I mean, once you use the code, it's used. I want everybody to understand that. But if I already have the paper version, I don't need a digital version. I can just give you the code and you can go download it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, you know, I don't know. Like I said, it's easy use. But one of the things that I have discovered over the last, Oh, probably 3 or 4 months is, you know, I mean, I've always been a comic guy. I've always liked comics. I haven't, you know, I'm not one of those people that sit there and nitpick things apart or follow a creator. It's just, you know, I follow characters, I follow stories, and I have found that just, I mean, I just love them so much. I just love reading comics. I love when you get a story, whether it's in one issue or 3 issues or 6 issues. I'm not real big on stories that have, I don't really like all the cross, you know, pollinization stories. I don't like crossovers. I don't want to have to read a book I normally don't read. I don't want to get, that was the problem with the 90s. You know, you'd have 17 X-Men titles. You'd have to buy all of them in order to get the whole story. It's like, if you're going to tell me a story, tell me it in the book I'm reading. Now don't tell me it in another book. That doesn't make any sense to me. And, but there's just so much good stuff out there. And, you know, digital, you know, we can just get rid of a lot of our clutter. I mean, there's pros and cons to digital everything, right? I mean, there's, you know, the con is that the people that are, you know, doing the, making the paper and printing it and all that and hauling it, you know, they're eventually their jobs will be phased out because everything will be delivered digitally. Mm-hmm. You know, the other con is that and majority of these things, you don't own it, you know, because at any point in time, they can, apparently they can revoke your access, you know, and that's a real downside to it. You know, also you can't go and have a digital comic sign. You know, you can't, you know, there's other things you can't do with it. It's hard to lend it out, you know, things like that. But, you know, as far as having less clutter around my house and having everything, you know, stored on a disc or a hard drive or something like that, it's a heck of a lot easier, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, quite frankly, up in the attic, I've got about 20 long boxes and maybe 30 or 40 short boxes filled with comics. If I want to go read a back issue, I don't know where the hell it is.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If it's on a hard drive, you know, I can go to the hard drive. It's alphabetical. I can throw it into Dropbox, you know, wait a little while because it takes Dropbox a while to upload stuff. Not that long, you know. Then I can open up the iPad, hit the Dropbox app and say, open it up in Comic Zeal and I'm ready to go, you know.
Right, right.
And there's other ways to do that too. You know, and there's an advantage to an Android device because a lot of the Android devices, you can pop an SD card into it. So you got a 32 gigabyte SD card loaded with comics, you know, or you have 10 of them. You know, you pop one out, you pop another one in, you scroll, you know, you go to the folder, you open up that comic, boom, you're ready to go. I mean, it just totally makes sense to me.
Yeah, there's a, you know, I was thinking about that too. You know, one of the things that I like is that, I mean, you figure a DVD is only, you know, 4 gigs, you know, or if you got a, if you double burn, double layer, it's, you know, 8. But, I mean, heck, an SD card, you know, a 32 gig SD card is not that expensive. They're versatile. I mean, I've washed them before. You know, you can beat these things up. They're pretty versatile. And, you know, you can get a freaking ring box and put, you know, 15 SD cards in there, and you can imagine how many comics you have on that. You know, now with that being said, you know, I need to, you know, one of the things that, you know, kind of annoys me, you know, in the comic world, and one of the things where, you know, people complain about, people can complain about piracy. It's there. It's the fact of the matter is it's there, but there are things that you can no longer find, that there's not a legitimate way to get a version of it unless you know somebody who has scanned it or mm-hmm. somebody who has backed it up or somebody who I'm going to be doing a show about a movie that you can't find anywhere except on VHS. And I had to convert it myself in order to talk about the film. And, you know, prime example of that is Marvel's Conan series. You know, you can't, unless you buy the issues, there's no way to digitally buy all of the old Conan because the rights change around. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the original Marvel G.I. Joe series.
Tarzan.
Yeah. Like the Marvel G.I. Joe, I know that they did a reprint with whoever holds the rights. Who holds the rights now? Is it, I can't think, is it Devil's Due? Or no? Is it Dynamite? I don't know who holds the rights.
I don't know.
I can't remember. But anyway, they did some reprints of the stuff. But the problem is a lot of the, a couple of the G.I. Joe issues, like one of them, the Joes land in this parade at the end and Hulk is there and Spider-Man's there, they're balloons, right? Well, they don't want that to be used. You know, Marvel's not going to license those images out to them. So they had to go in and kind of digitally erase those and put in something weird in there, you know, to make it work. Well, that's not how I remember reading it. I just want to get the original ones. You know, I want there to be a reprint and be able to collect those that way. And you can't find there. It just, it does not exist. Unless you have the issues, it does not exist. So the only way to do that is either go out and spend thousands of dollars getting all, I mean, can you imagine buying like Conan number one? You know, you couldn't, you know, you couldn't afford to do that just to read the story. So you find digital copies, and it's a shame that they can't work out something. You know, the rights people can't work out something, you know, the lawyers can hammer something out so that we can get the stuff that we want. But you know, if it wasn't for some of this archiving technology, we wouldn't have that. We wouldn't have this stuff anymore. It'd be gone. You know, same thing with a lot of the, you know, a lot of the television shows. You know, I was talking with a friend of mine. You probably don't remember this, but there was a Beetlejuice cartoon. Okay. And it was four seasons. It's like 92 episodes. And it was probably one of the best cartoons that I had ever seen. I really liked it. It was the first time where I really enjoyed somebody taking animation and they had their own style to it. And because of that, I really enjoyed the fact that, you know, it was the first time, I guess it was for me, it was the first time I really realized like stylized animation, because, you know, back in the 80s and you know, the 70s, the 80s, all the animation kind of looked the same, right? And, you know, even in the 90s, you had a lot of the same, you know, looking animation. And this was the first time that something had its own style, its own look. It was very different than everything else. But the stories were all really good. And everybody I know that I bring this up to, they did season one on VHS, and it was like 8 or 9 tapes you had to buy. And of course those things go for a small fortune now, and there was never been an official release. Well, they just recently did a, you know, a Shout Factory is going to do an official release of Beetlejuice. It's going to be like 12 discs, all four seasons, all 92 episodes. I don't know about the extras, but up until now, the only way to get that was either to find a torrent site where somebody had recorded them from TV and put them up there, or buy them bootleg. And people were willing to spend the money, so why not do a video on demand service or do something like that in order to get this stuff out there? So now it's finally getting an official release, which I'm kind of excited about, and it's an interesting release because it's going to be sold exclusively through Amazon. Unfortunately, it's a little bit on the pricey side. It's about $70 for this set, and I don't know if Amazon discounted further or not. I'm kind of hoping they do, because that's a little pricey. I mean, I think for me, $50 is probably the breaking point for something like this. But I mean, I would love to go back and revisit the show just because it was just so interesting and so well done. I won some daytime Emmys. It has a really interesting history. You know, it was shown on ABC on Saturday morning, and then Fox Kids was showing it after school. So two different networks were showing the same show, which I thought was kind of interesting. But it's got an interesting history, and it's one of those prime examples of, you know, stuff that's available that we know of, that the only way to get a hold of it is via bootlegs, or, you know, via a torrent site or something like that, when people were willing to spend money on. I mean, I know people, we talk about shows all the time that we saw when we were younger that, you know what, they were horrible shows too, but we don't care. At the time, we just love science fiction, anything it was, and so we have fond memories. And we'd like to go back and revisit it some way, shape, or form, you know? But, you know, I mean, like the Wonder Years, you know, we're never going to see a DVD release of the Wonder Years because of the music rights. But they can still do it streaming because they've been able to work around that. Same thing with WKRP in Cincinnati. I have every season of that, and it's the crappiest video you've ever seen in your life. But the DVD set came out, season one came out on DVD. Everybody waited for it. And the problem was, not just that they had to cut all the music, because they used name brand music back then. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't just like band nobody ever heard of them. We had the Stones on there, you know, we had Kiss on there, we had all these name band. But the problem was, apparently they must not have the masters or something, because the music would play into a scene. And since they couldn't remove the music, they had to remove some scenes or trim them.
Wow.
And that just changes the complete way it looks. And it was like, somebody did an episode by episode breakdown of what exactly was changed, because I was getting ready to buy it. And some of the things that were changed were so drastic. I'm like, I'm not paying money for this. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, I would rather pay more money to get a full blown release of the show. And as far as I'm concerned, WKRP is like one of my all time favorite comedy, in my top five. I love that show. And I am so disappointed that we're never going to get a release of that. I wish that they would work something out so they could do that. But, you know, but it's just a prime example of, for all the people complaining about piracy and complaining about all the creators' rights and things like that, that's fine. But you know, we want the stuff that we want, and if there's, you know, we're willing to pay money for it, but sometimes there's not a viable alternative to it, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, and there's another great use for a tablet. You know, you want to watch a show or something, but you don't want to be sitting at your computer desk. You can stream it to your tablet.
Right.
I can stream to my iPad with an app. I can't even remember which one. What Stream to Me, I think it's called.
Yeah.
I can do it with the Android as well. And I just discovered an app that allows me to stream from my computer to the Roku box in the living room. So now not only can I watch all of the, you know, different things that I've got on my computer on my Apple TV box, I can watch them on my Roku box. I mean, the world is good, you know. Or I can stream them to my tablet, or I can, you know, load it onto my tablet and watch it. You know, I don't know, go on a business trip or whatever, and got nothing to do, and I want to watch a movie, and I don't want to pay stupid fees for it. You know, I can sit and watch this movie on my tablet. I mean, it's they're handy little devices to have. And you know, Aaron, that I've been talking about. I've been fascinated with this little computer, the
Raspberry Pi.
The Raspberry Pi.
Yeah.
Pi. Pi.
Yeah.
It's a little circuit board that has, you know, just has minor stuff on it. It's $35, and you can modify it. Well, I was looking through the Twitch channel on the Roku box, and they actually had a show on how to use that as an XMBC server, media server. It was amazing. I mean, you know, instead of using your game, whichever games you can use to stream to your television set, you can actually use this thing to stream things to your television set too. And it's a $35 computer. You know, I mean, try to get one for that, but you know,
right. Well, hopefully that'll.
It's probably more like $45.
Yeah,
but
it's just amazing. You know what we're able to do, and it's funny because, you know, you know, as time goes on, and I'm surprised at how many people, how many people that I know that are kind of trying to, I don't want to say minimalist lifestyle, but they're, you know, trying to cut down. Like I said, we got a lot of crap. I got a lot of crap. I mean, my family has a lot of crap that we do not need. And it's one of those things that, as I know, as soon as I throw it out, I'm going to need that for something. Mm-hmm. And it was always like that. You know, I remember a conversation I had with my dad one time. We needed a wheel puller. Well, because we did all the work on the cars ourselves. I mean, that was back in the day when you could actually do all the work yourself, right? And we needed a wheel puller, and couldn't find anybody that would let us borrow one that had one. So we went and we bought one. And I remember my dad moved a lot, and so every time we moved, I'd pack up that wheel puller, and every time I'd just shake my head about it. And so finally, about the third time, I was like, "Do we still need this?" And he's like, "No." He's like, "I'm probably never going to pull another wheel in my life." He said, "But I guarantee you," he said, "if we throw that away," he said, "I'm going to need it tomorrow." And so it's just like you have this stuff that you just take with you, or you move around, or you put in a box and it sits there. And it's just a matter of, well, you know, if I had access to one, I wouldn't need to buy one, you know. And it's kind of like that with, you know, with books and comics. I mean, some books I want to buy the paper book. I want to check it out. I want to enjoy it. You know, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, granted it's, you can say you're collecting it, but it's there. You know, I mean, if I want to go and read it tomorrow, I can. Some stuff, I just want to read the stories. Some stuff, you know, with comics and stuff like that, we've never had the option of digital, and for the longest time, we didn't have the option of trades either. If you wanted to read the comics, you had to buy the issues. Well, you end up, you know, if you want to go back and read those stories, you better save those issues. So next thing you know, you have long boxes everywhere. And that's like me. I have a bunch of long boxes. And you know what? I want to get rid of all my comics. I want to get rid of all my paper comics. I want to get it down to one short box of stuff that I know that I'm going to go back and read.
Right.
But I can't bear to throw them away. I will give them to somebody. You know, if somebody out there listening right now wants like 15 long boxes of comics and willing to pay shipping, you send me an email and I will send them to you. You can have them. I know there's maybe a couple, like I said, there's probably a short box full of stuff that I want because I know I'll go back and read. Some of the stuff is actually worth a little bit of money, but I have no intention of ever selling it or dealing with eBay or anything else. But I'm tired of having the clutter. I'm ready to get rid of it and move everything I can to digital.
One of the things I think, you know, what we had originally talked about when we were talking about this with the tablets was, I think, kind of a pros and cons of the different kinds of tablets, you know, the, you know, for instance, the iPad. It's kind of expensive. Getting transferring information into it can be a little bit of a pain in the butt sometimes. Whereas on an Android device, you can find them pretty cheap. I mean, just the other day, I saw a I think it was 8 gigabyte Android device. It had a real low amount of memory, but you could use an SD card in it. It was a 9-inch screen, and it had Android 4.0, which is pretty good. I mean, the newest one is 4.1, so that's, that's not that big a deal. Problem is, you can't upgrade the systems as a rule. Not like, with the iPad, as long as it's not too old, you can upgrade the system. But for $118, I think it was selling for, if I can put a 32 gigabyte card in it, or pop them out and pop them back in, and that's what I would recommend to people. Just read the description and see what it is. Some of the systems too, it's Android, but the market, it may be a limited market, and in most cases, the limited market isn't a bad thing necessarily. What they're doing is they're limiting it so that you don't get a virus on your device.
Right.
They're saying these are the only things that you can buy because we don't trust to load something else. I mean, if you're really a big fanatic, that you have to have everything available to you, you can root the device. And I think, if you're not doing it like on a Kindle Fire, I think it may not be as difficult to do. But I don't know that for a fact. I've never done it, and not something I really would look forward to doing. You probably would be braver with something like that though than I would.
Well, that's the one thing that I can, if you get an Android device, the first thing you need to do is put virus software on there, because there's just the Android store. That is the one thing. It is a mess. The Google Play store, it is, and it's just, there is so much garbage on there, and it just, you kind of got to be careful what you're doing, what you're updating, and what you're installing on it. So you have to be aware of that. But as long as you got this, and if you're worried about it, you can always go in there and install like the Amazon Android store, because it's more of a collated system. It's more sandboxed in, and you're not going to be able to download porn apps and all the other crap that you can get in the Play Store. A prime example is I was looking for a simple photo editor when I first got my Nexus. And so I went to the Google Play Store and I typed in photo editor, and the first 6 items were legit photo editors. The next like 77 things were these apps where all it was pictures of scantily clad girls, and they were free, but I can guarantee you that they were going to say, if you pay us, so much money, you'll have to be able to have nude photos or whatever. And I thought, first of all, I don't even really need an app for that. I can find any of that stuff online for free. And secondly, wow, there's a lot of these apps. I mean, just everybody trying to make a buck, one way or the other. And I don't know if there's viruses on those or not, but let's just say that, usually if it deals with a vice, there's probably going to be a virus on there. But there's nice free virus software that's available. And, it's just like anything else. You just got to be a little bit more careful, what you're doing, But you have that. That's the thing, is you want the freedom. That's the price of having that freedom, is having to deal with that. If you want something more sandboxed than either iOS or going with a strictly, trying to find an app store that sandbox and only allows certain things, is a way to go. Also, you can go with the Kindle Fire, which just deals with the Amazon store, and they're much better about making sure that they're not, they have a forked version of Android, but they make sure that all that stuff is a little better taken care of, and there's more moderators when it comes to doing that. But at the end of the day, the tablet is just, there are so many different things you can do with it, and I just really have been enjoying mine. My iPad was something I didn't think I'd ever be able to get. My wife gave it to me 1 year for a gift, and I've been loving it ever since. I mean, I love everything about it, and I wish I could do more on it, but just like I said, trying to put the comics on there. I use, when I'm loading stuff from Comic Zeal, it's like I load up a file folder, I go to iTunes, you point it to the app, and you say, okay, install these, and it's got to transfer all them over, and it takes some time. And then once they're transferred over, and I open a comic reader, it has to read all the files first before it allow you to organize them. And so it's a long process that I don't really I don't mind doing, but if you just have like one comic that you want to read and you're in a hurry, it's kind of a pain in the butt, you know. Like a lot of the Sullivan Sluggers came out, and I've always been kind of keeping an eye on it, and I wanted to read it, but I wasn't sure if it was for me. The team that put it together allowed you to download the first two issues for free, and they are CBZ files. And I thought, well, I'd like to read these. And there's a lot to look at. You know, I don't want to read on my computer because not only is there a lot of art, but there's a lot of words, and it's just a very busy page. And I was like, I'd like some time to be able to sit down and relax and view it. And I'm like, I want to put these on my iPad. Well, you know, putting these two comics on the iPad is going to take me 10 minutes, and I don't really, you know, it's kind of a pain in the butt. Where on the other hand, with Android, I plug my Nexus 7 in. I use an Android, a little program. It transfers stuff to the Nexus 7. It shows you the tree, the file tree. You just pick the file folder. I made one called Comics. I just drag and drop them. And however long it takes to transfer it over is all you got to worry about. You open your comic reader, and there they are. The comic readers aren't as nice, I think, as Comic Zeal, but you can find your way around them. You know, it's not too difficult. I mean, I have a few issues with them, but I've read, you know, 30 or 40 comics on it, no problem. You know, I got to hold it sideways to do it, but I also hold my iPad sideways because I like that nice big screen, you know.
Absolutely.
But, you know, and, you know, video is the same way. It works real well. You know, reading now PDFs, there's only, as far as I'm concerned, there's a million different PDF readers. You're going to find thousands of them, but Goodreader is the one that you want to get, because what you can do with that is just outstanding. You can have multiple PDFs and multiple tabs, just like a web browser. You can annotate on them. You can bookmark them. You can pick selected items. You can double click on the iPad if you're reading a magazine, on a text column, and it pulls up just that text column so you can read that. I mean, I love everything about that. I just wish that I could get all of my magazines digitally. I want to legitimately subscribe. I'm not paying an arm and a leg. I'm not paying the print price. I'll pay a print subscription price because those are usually pretty cheap, you know, and I just want a notification every month. You send me an email and say, okay, new magazine, here it is. Click on this, download it, boom, and be done. That's what I want to be able to do, you know. Unfortunately, we don't quite have that yet. It's a work in progress, but that's what I want. And I want it in PDF form so I can move it around, so I can annotate it, so I can mark it, you know, all that stuff. I don't want to take a chance on all my markings and bookmarks going away. And as far as I know, with Goodreads, there's a way to permanently tag it so you can find exactly what you're looking for. Because if you're like me, over the years, you know, you've gotten different tech magazines. And I get video magazines, I got audio magazines that tells you how to do stuff, photography magazines, and I end up saving them. Well, then, you know, you end up having a big box full of magazines. There's post-it notes all through them with what I wanted to remember. It's like, this seems like a big waste of space when I can just keep the articles that I want and just put them in Dropbox or put them in some file folder and be done with it, you know? There's a lot of easy use things that we're still getting there as far as that's concerned, but I talk a lot about tablets on Sci-Fi Dig. I talk a lot about, you know, and the thing is, I still buy my movies on discs. You know, I still buy some paper books. I still buy hardback editions of comics. That's like, I've been reading Saga digitally. Love this comic so much. Cannot say enough good things about it. Won't be buying the trade, but I will be buying, I'm hoping that they're going to do a hardbound version of like maybe the first like 20 issues or something, like they did with The Walking Dead. You know, there's different variations of that book out. When a hardbound version comes out, I will definitely be buying this. It's just that good. And I enjoy the art and the story so much. It's something I'll go back and read again. I just really enjoy it, you know. Things like that, you know. So like something like that, you might even get a double purchase out of me. I bought a digital version and I'll buy, you know, the paper version if it's, you know, if it's done up right, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, magazines, you know, for a while there, the only place to get the magazines were like in the Kindle store. And I was going to subscribe to Fantasy and Science Fiction last year within the Kindle store. Well, I had originally wanted to sign up for it at another website that carried it, but then all of a sudden they weren't carrying it anymore and it seemed to be exclusive to the Kindle. So then I went and read the thing and it said after 6 months, the magazine would get bumped out of off your list. You wouldn't have it anymore. But you were allowed to keep it if you wanted to. So, you know, that was no big deal. Okay, I'll keep that digital version of that. But the other thing that bothered me was it would only allow me to read it on one device. And when that device went bad, it went crapped out and it was no good anymore. That was it. I lost those issues. Now, apparently that's changed. you know, because I did finally subscribe to fantasy and science fiction in a hard copy format because I didn't want to not have them available to me. But I guess since then they've changed some things around, and you can read your, you know, your copy of fantasy and science fiction on a digital device. So I think this October, when my subscription comes due, I'm going to switch over to a digital edition.
Yeah, and I did the same thing. They had the same kind of restrictions they were placing on the Show and Jump Alpha. I'm not a big Show and Jump reader, but I wanted to support it, and it was like $25 last year, and so I bought the annual subscription, and you got a free digital manga with it, and you got the Show and Jump magazine, and I don't know if you know, but that's weekly, and it's a whole lot to read, so I think I've read two of them, and so exactly 11 and a half months behind. But if you bought the annual one, the Show and Jump ones would be in your account forever. If, however, you wanted to buy it monthly, they would only be in there for 3 months, and then they would go away, and you wouldn't be able to access them again. Now, that's a fair enough deal as far as I'm concerned if you want to make a one-year subscription. But I don't want anything where it says, oh, well, this is going to be, you know, this is time-sensitive. After a while, it's going to go away. It's like, no, once I've paid you, you want to sell me a digital edition. That's what you're telling me. You're telling me you're selling. Otherwise, use the term rent. If you're selling me the digital edition, then I want to have it. And as long as you're going to do things like this, you are pushing people to piracy, because people like me say, you know what? I already bought this once. I'm not going to pay a second time for something that I bought that you, for whatever reason, you wanted to use some kind of archaic model to make it go away. That's not how I want to do things. The whole idea of me going digital is it's easier on me and it's less clutter for me. And it's less cost for you. By doing it the way you're doing it, you're not helping at all. You know, it's ridiculous when they do stuff like that. I don't understand it. And when you treat people like they're going to be criminals, they're going to act like criminals. I mean, I'm a firm believer in that. When you treat people like that, then they're going to find other means to do it, or they're going to try to share it, or they're going to do, you know, whatever they're going to do. And I don't know, everybody, you can find a way to justify anything, I guess. You know what I mean? I remember back in the day when I first started getting Netflix, and it took like, this was when you didn't get a disc in like 2 or 3 days. You got a disc. It took like a week to get a disc. So I would use rewritable DVDs, and I'd get a disc, and I would rip it, and then I would send the other one back the same day, and then I would watch that, and then I would race it, and then when I got the next one, that way I was getting them quicker. You know, I was able to watch movies quicker, and you know, I didn't share them with anybody for the most part or anything like that, but technically that's not fair. You know, that's not fair to them. It's not what I signed up for. But they've since fixed the problem, so I don't have to do that. I mean, if I get a disc, it comes in 2 days, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have to worry about it. But it's just – it's an interesting time we're living in, and I say this all the time on the show. You know, we – you know, all the sci-fi fans, we love all this old-school sci-fi that we had because – it was, you know, it was all that there was at the time, and there was just so little of it, so we love it all. And now we live in a time where there's so much, there's just not enough time to consume everything, so you got to pick and choose the shows. And then, you know, you have podcasts and websites, all the stuff out there telling you about how great this show is or how great that show is. And it's like, man, where do I find a time for all this? And I feel the same way about comics as with any kind of media. You know, there's so many books I want to read in so little time. There's so many magazines, or so many things I want to do. You know, it's just there's not enough hours in a day to get everything done, and so you're kind of under it seems like you have a mountain of stuff, and it's easy to get caught up in, well, I'm going to get this one on sale and get this one's on sale, and you got to stop and say, look at all this stuff I have that I haven't read yet or haven't consumed yet. You know what I mean? And I think part of the problem with digital versions is that you end up being a digital collector, and then they change the rules, and then suddenly all the things that you've purchased that you haven't had the opportunity to enjoy yet are suddenly gone or out of your reach because something has changed. You know what I mean? So, you know, I feel the same thing about iTunes Music. It's just like, well, I understand that at least they tell me. I've never been able to figure out how to download an MP3 version of an iTunes song. It's all AC4 or whatever that is. And it still tells me, you know, this is one of my four devices that is been, you know, that I'm allowed to use. And I'm like, well, I don't even know what the other devices are. It's been so long since I've been using iTunes. I'm like, I have no idea what you're telling me. You know, I'm like, so I just buy my stuff through Amazon. It's MP3s. I can do whatever I want with it. I'm not that worried about it. You know,
same here.
Yeah. So, you know, I go with the system that works for me, and I'm not knocking the other ones, and I'm not knocking Android. I'm not knocking iOS. Use whatever works for you.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I will say that in my personal opinion, the iPad and the iPad line, okay, is much easier, much slicker, and much better fit and finish than anything I've used in the Android side. That's not to say that I don't love my Nexus 7. I use it every day. But I'm just saying that if I had a choice I can't say that because, like, you know, what I can do with Android, there's more things I can do with Android. It's just not, it's like a multi-tool versus a good pair of pliers, right? It's like the Android device is my multi-tool. It gets the job done. The iPad is my pair of pliers for that one job. And, you know, it works very, very well, very well done. You know, everything's honed, everything looks beautiful. With the iPad, the thing that I like now that my iPad doesn't have is that you can actually keep your finger on a screen and still scroll, which to me is the biggest thing ever. because, you know, now if I put my finger on a screen, I can't move the screen around because it's counting that as a touch. But if you just have your finger in place for a couple seconds, it doesn't count as a touch anymore. And you can still scroll around. And I really dig that. That's a big thing for me, you know. And I wish that, but I'm sure the Android would get there. I mean, let's face it, everything I've used up until Jelly Bean in Android, I have not liked. It has just not been there. And I don't want to say, use the term that, well, you know, now I think Jelly Bean is good enough. There are some things it does better than iOS. And but the things that I didn't like before are now good enough that I am really enjoying using my device. And like I said, we have a lot of things out there. I mean, even YouTube, go get a device and go to YouTube and look up all the free science fiction and fantasy and genre type stuff that's out there. It's free that you can download. You can subscribe to. You're going to have a new episode. You'll have a new episode of something every day. You know, subscribe to 10 or 12 feeds. You're going to have a new episode of something, and it's all really good stuff, you know?
Oh, YouTube. I mean, I my headlight went bad on my Chevy Cobalt, and I just wanted to make sure I knew what I was doing. So I actually did a search, Chevy Cobalt, change headlight, whatever. There was a YouTube video. The guy goes through every single – it was so easy for me to go out and do it, you know, because I just watched the video and went out. And it wasn't that difficult to begin with, but, you know, I just wanted to make sure. Because you know how sometimes those small jobs or what you think is going to be a small job turns into a nightmare, you know?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll admit this now. It's been years. I can go ahead and admit this now. My daughter wanted her hair French braided. Nobody knew how to do it. So me and you two spent about 2 hours together so we could learn how to do it. And then I did it. She was all amazed. And then, of course, she went to school and then had to tell everybody. Everybody's like, your hair looks so nice. She's like, yeah, my dad did. I was like, please don't tell people that.
Really?
I can't remember how to do it. Excuse me. I can't remember.
But I totally agree with you. As far, you know, I'm an Apple person. You know, I like my devices. I don't mind that there's some limits to what I can do with it because I know everything that I want to do with it, I can do, and I never have any problems with it. That's not always the case on an Android or a Windows. But that said, you know, I do a lot of things with computers. You know, I use Photoshop. I use sound editing. I use this. I use that. A lot of people get on the computer. They check websites. They download their email, you know. A lot of people, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know. I mean, they're not as tied to technology as I am, and that's fine. But if you're not tied to technology, you know, look around, go for the least expensive. I mean, why not get a you know, I can get a 7-inch tablet with Ice Cream, you know, 4.0 Android 4.0 for $69, you know.
Right.
Why not?
You know, what I would like to have done, and I nobody was really free to discuss this, but I would like to get some creators on here, like comic creators on here, because, you know, there's a lot of comic creators out there that have been using their iPads for not only drawing the comics, but for coloring them as well. And that's a great big thing. I mean, to be able to do that on your iPad and there are a lot of graphic intensive programs for both of the two major platforms, you know, Android and iOS, that you can do so much stuff with. You know, you can do pretty much now. You can do anything. you know, other than audio, which there's a big difference in audio on iOS versus Android, and they're working on that. They're trying to fix that right now because the latency is too long on Android. That's why you don't have all the different plug-in things that you have for you don't have this for Android. You have for iOS, like recording guitars and stuff like that. It just does not work correctly on Android, and they're going to fix that. You know, but what it boils down to is think about what you're going to want to do. The problem is once you get a device, start playing with it and realize, well, I could do this or I could do that, then your idea changes as to what you want to be able to do, and you might have to change your device depending, you know. But think about what you want your primary use to be and focus your device on that. Like I said, you know, I bought my Nexus because I knew, like, my the one thing I wanted to be able to do was be able to offload videos and stuff onto it and not have to worry about taking a laptop with me. When I have to fly somewhere on vacation, when I take the car, I just load it up, you know. But when I'm flying, I don't want to have to deal with all that. And I wanted something that not only could I watch movies on or look at photos or do whatever, but I also wanted to be able to get a little bit of work done. And still haven't found a tagging app for being able to tag all the photos and put all the keywords in. So if anybody knows of a good app, please email me, because I'm still kind of looking around. But like, I have a GoPro camera and I can just plug that sucker in. And I can put all the videos on there and I can watch them right now, because the GoPro doesn't have a screen on it. Okay, the camera, you can beat the crap out of it, but there's no way to see the video until you take the card out and transfer it to a computer or a device. So I wanted to have something that I could, you know, play around with and do that with. And man, it works fantastic for that, you know. And like I said, I was able to plug a hard drive into the thing. I plugged a 1 terabyte hard drive into my Nexus and look at all the files on there. And I could go through my photos on there. I could go through my videos on there. I mean, granted, it's a little bit sluggish, but it'll work in a pinch. You know, the SD cards load real fast, though. That works real well. A lot of stuff, you know, that's what I wanted to be able to do. And I can't do that with an iPad. Or, you know, I mean, I can. You can plug in, you can buy the camera connection kit, but of course now they change the connector and everything else, and it's just like, it's too big of a hassle. You know, I want to be able to load up videos or something on SD cards and be able to pop them in and do what I want to do with them, you know, or comics or whatever. That's what I want to be able to do. And it gives me that versatility, so that's why I got that particular device. But just think about what it is you want to do and think about the cost and what you want to be able to do. And I know some people need to have that cell radio in there. I do not. I don't have to have a. If I take my iPad, I load everything up on it before I leave, and then I don't need to have that. You know, I'm good with just Wi-Fi, and I usually just turn that off and go about my day. You know, but it all depends on what it is you want. Know your device before you go and make the purchase, and do a little bit of research, and I think you're going to be happy with it. You know.
Well, and the other thing too. I mean, if you're starting out and you're not really sure, you know, why not go with the $69 7-inch tablet? Check it out. See if you like it. You know, then you do your homework. You know, you ask people, you know, like us who use both devices. I mean, you know, there was a time there where I got all caught up in these little games, drawing things. You know, you'd draw a picture and then you'd send it to somebody and they'd have to guess what it was. And, you know, and one day I said, you know what, this is a waste of time. I got to stop doing this. And at the same time, I discovered a program for doing animation. I'm drawing with my finger and then I go to the next cell and I draw the next cell and the next cell. And then I hit a button and all of a sudden I've got a little cartoon that I made. You know, that to me was a better waste of time, you know, than wasting my time doing these, you know, drawing with friends. I think that's what the name of the game was. There's just so many, and I'll tell you the truth. I can do that on the iPad, but I can do that I was able to do that on the Kindle Fire as well. So it's really not that big a deal. You know, there's a lot of programs that you can use on the high-end device that you can still use on the low-end device. So I'm not trying to talk anybody out of an iPad, because quite frankly, that's my device of choice. But if I'm going on vacation, am I going to take the iPad with me, or am I going to take the $100 device with me that I can replace reasonably easy? You know,
right? Exactly. Okay, so if you could design your own device, okay, what is it that you would look for?
I think it would need to, you know, I'd need to be able to easily load. You mean as far as programs go, or?
Well, just like for me, I'll give you an example. Like, what I'm looking for is, I'm kind of intrigued by the Galaxy Note. Okay, I could use that as a phone and a tablet, and it has that wonderful, wonderful S Pen, which for drawing and stuff would be amazing. It's much better than using your finger or a touch-sensitive, you know, stylus. You know, but I would want something, you know, actually like that device running just Android without all the other crap that the companies put on there would seems pretty perfect for me. It's just about the right size. I would be, it would be a, you know, a multi-use cause I could, I should be able to, well, you know, as an all-in-one device, it seems like it'd be about the right size, but if I had my choice, I would like to have a 10-inch tablet with an S Pen and running something, you know, some a hybrid somewhere between iOS for ease of use and, you know, Android so that I could plug stuff in and import stuff. You know, maybe have an SD card slot or a USB slot, you know, micro USB to be able to bring stuff over. And, I mean, to me, that would be the perfect device because not only could I read on it, but I could create on it, use the S Pen to do drawing and to edit photos, have some sort of, some sort of hybrid version of Photoshop or, you know, Lightroom or something like that, where I could at least get some of the photo tagging done and set the white balance and stuff like that for photos. That's what I would like.
Okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Well, I mean, I'll tell you the truth. When I first started looking at tablets, it was about 3 years before the iPad came out. And at that time, Windows had, and it wasn't a dumbed down version, but Windows had a version for a tablet that would allow you to use your finger, you know. And eventually somebody was able to start making, modifying a Mac tablet. Or I mean, a Mac computer into a tablet.
But I remember
we were
that,
looking at
yeah.
a couple thousand dollars for these devices. So as much as I wanted one, I didn't buy one because, well, I just couldn't afford it, you know. So I think what I, you know, quite frankly, what I'd like is a fully functioning computer that I could run Photoshop on, that I could, you know, that I could do anything that I can do on a computer. Because I'm lazy. I like to sit in my easy chair with my computer. You know, I can, now I can do that with a laptop. Don't get me wrong. But I like being able to put my finger on the screen and do whatever I want to do. You know, the disadvantage to drawing on the tablet is the export of what you're drawing isn't a high resolution. You know, I need to export at 300 dots per inch. I can't do that. Or at least last time I checked, I couldn't. You know, I have several high-end drawing applications on the iPad, and I can export it, but it's not. I don't know if it's good enough for me to send it out for printing. You know,
right.
So I think that's what I would like to see. You know, is a full-blown touch computer. But yeah, everything you're talking about, yeah, absolutely. I mean, just you know, they're there. They're close to what I. My original expectations were, but they're not quite there, you know. So that helps. Anyway.
See, that's why I want the whole fight to rage on Android versus iOS, because you can't have somebody that likes both. You gotta fight. You gotta, you know, pick a fight about, you know, Nikon versus Canon, Mac versus PC. You know, you gotta be a fanboy. You can't just, you know, be like, hey, it's all good. But I want the fight to rage on, because the more they push it, the more leaps in technology we get, and eventually we're going to get to that device that allows you to do all those different things rather than having multiple devices, you know. You know, like for me, you know, my friend has a Galaxy S3, and I absolutely love that phone. I love that screen. I love what you can do with it, but it has the world's crappiest camera. The iPhone 5 still, and even the iPhone 4, those phones still have an outstanding camera. And I use my camera every single day, and I've got to have a decent camera. And I tried everything to try to figure out if there was a way to improve on the camera. We played with the phone one day for hours, and it just cannot. It's just a bad camera. I know some people think it's a good camera. Trust me, I don't know a lot of things, but I know. I can show you the difference, and it's horrible for doing anything where there's light involved. It's just it has a lot of trouble focusing, and it can't it doesn't change the exposure when you it's just a bad camera. I do not like it. But I'd be lying if I didn't say I was disappointed in the screen size of the iPhone 5. I mean, I love everything else about it. I especially like the weight of the fact that it's way lighter because running with my phone, man, it's a pain in the butt. You know, it, the 4 was a pain in the butt, just too damn heavy. But I would love to have had a 4-inch screen or 4.5-inch screen on that thing. And you know, Apple says they're not going to do one, but I think the market's kind of demanding it. But you know, we'll see what happens. You know, I can't imagine ever using anything other than a Mac computer. I can do everything that, you know, I need to do, and it just works. But the other devices, you know, hey, I use whatever comes along that fits my needs. I'm not tied to one or the other. But everybody out there, there's a whole slew of tablets out there that just, you know, can make your life a little easier, maybe a little less cluttered, and maybe give you the opportunity to introduce you to new things that you didn't know about. You know, I don't think a large part of this audience listens to or reads comic books, but man, with Comixology out there and, you know, what's going on with that, a lot of the digital firsts that are coming out and the fact that you can kind of explore the store a little bit, I highly recommend that. And the same thing with YouTube. The YouTube apps have a little ways to go before they're as good as the computer apps. As far as trying to search stuff, but there's so much good stuff out there that's either really inexpensive or free. Just look around, and you know, we were talking about Comixology allowing these independent people to submit their work, and I hope that that blows everything wide open, because there's so many comics out there that I discover on a regular basis that people have and don't have a regular outlet to get them out there. Can you imagine, you know, being an artist and being able to get on Comixology, sell your book for 99 cents, and you're like, okay, I have a market now. You know, I'm selling, you know, 50 copies a month. Okay, 50 copies a month not seem like much, but that means you have 50 people that are paying you money every month. And hopefully you can build on that and you start putting out a regular story and, you know, telling your tale. And that excites me, you know, the fact that you can do that. You know,
well, I don't know if you saw it, but Comixology just opened up a – I can't remember what it's called, but just over the weekend they announced a new – oh, it's called Comixology Submit. So basically anybody now – I mean, even I guess I could do it with Dutchie Digest, you know, which is – let's face it. I mean, ours is just a simple little self-published, you know, digest type thing that, you know, we have fun with. We're not – you know, we don't have any illusions of our being professional comic book writers and artists, but, you know, it's something – that I always wanted to do, and this is fulfilling for me, you know. But in any event, you know, I could take a bunch of those issues, put them together in a little, you know, and collected edition, and I could sell it on Comixology.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's they've opened it up to everybody, is I guess what I'm trying to say, which is I think is just really the nuts. I can't wait to see, you know, what comes out on there. And, you know, the price, let's face it, I mean, if I can buy, you know, 10 comics at 99 cents – because they're digital and because the people were able to sell them for that price because they're less expensive to produce, or I can buy 2 or 3 comic books. And the small press people, I feel bad for them, because when they go to press a comic book or books even, you know, when you go to press a physical book, it costs a fortune. You know, when you go to do distribution, there's no upfront costs, really. I mean, you know, whoever is distributing it for you is going to take a piece of the pie, but that's okay, you know? So there's all these people that can now produce stuff and get it out there, and, you know, you can find the people that you like. Oh, yeah, there's going to be a lot of people that, you know, aren't as good as others, but for 99 cents, you didn't mind trying it out, you know?
Right, and for 99 cents, these people will have the opportunity. Like I said, once you have a market, you can try to, you know, get better at, you know, your craft, whether it's writing or doing the artwork or coloring or whatever. You have a market. You're actually getting paid. You know, it might not be making much, but the point is you're getting paid for it, and that's kind of a, you know, that's kind of a drive. You know, knowing that, you know, I'm sure you'll have all the stats of who's, you know, doing what and who's, you know, how many downloads you're getting and how often and you know, reviews and things like that to kind of hopefully help you, you know, get better at what you're doing. And it really is a drive, and it's an exciting time. Like I said, I mean, you know, the internet and these things have really blown it wide open. But once you have that tablet with Comixology, I mean, that's really what it was made for, the tablet. I mean, it's just like I said, the computer, the web interface for reading comics is horrible. And I do not Even checking out is such a pain in the butt when you buy stuff. Because when I bought some of the omnibuses, I went on there and I used that rather than going through iTunes, and it was just a big hassle. It's just easier. I mean, like with the way I haven't tried to buy anything through the Google store, but as far as Comixology is concerned, but using the using iTunes, it really is simple. You just put in your password, say yes, this is how much you're getting charged, and you click the button, you're done. You know,
it's exactly
in-app purchase, like anything, you know, any other in-app purchases you may make, and then it's available on all your devices immediately. You just go and click on it, and then download it, and there you got it. You know, and I have multiple. I think I have a couple devices I'm running right now that have the same comic on them. I just kind of switch back and forth, and the panel by panel works really well on the Nexus 7. I mean, that works beautifully, and I love the panel by panel. I mean, I don't know why people don't like it, but man. When I heard that some people were complaining about it, I couldn't believe it. I love it. I mean, every panel is a reveal, and you get a nice up-close look at everything. I just really enjoy it. So, but anyway, we're at about an hour, and that's, you know, I don't know if you noticed or not, but I complained. It's been a long time since I got in weekly show mode, and I'm like, wow, I'm actually got to start watching my server space, you know. I never haven't had that problem in a while. I usually have tons of it, and it's like, wow, this really eats it up, you know. But anyway, I've enjoyed chatting with you about this. I know we've been wanting to talk about this for a while now. I do have a little icon by Skype that says one. I don't know what that means or how to look at that, so I will just I have no idea how to what that means. I don't know. Anyway, so I hope nobody else tried to join in and I snubbed them. I didn't mean to snub you if that was the fact. I just, I'm still, Skype just does not, is nowhere near as efficient as it was before as far as, you know, letting you know information. It was just so much easier before. Now it's complicated. I don't like it. But anyway, I enjoyed our chat and we will talk again soon.
Okay.
That conversation went on a lot longer than I thought it was going to, but it was good stuff. I really enjoyed both spending some time with Bruce and picking his brain for, you know what he liked to do with his, you know, different devices. And, you know, like I said, you know, I think we kind of said it all in a conversation there. I mean, there's a lot of different places where you can get tablets, and it just, you know, a lot of different price points depending on, you know, how good, how effective, you know, you want them to be, and just know what you want to do, and that will help you make your decision. Anyway, I'm going to wind this up because this went way longer than I thought, and I only have so much allocated server space. So I will talk to everybody next week, where I definitely, without a doubt, will be talking about Fringe. And I have also my April 1st episode is coming up. April Fool's Day falls on Monday. And those of you that have been listening to Sci-Fi Dig for the last 7 years, I don't know. There's been a long time I've been doing this. Know that I like to have a little bit of fun on April Fool's Day and do something, review something just completely out there and well off the beaten path. So I have something just for you, and I promise you're going to love it. I had a great time rewatching it, and I think that all of you are going to enjoy it as well. As always, you can go to scifidig.com and find the numerous ways to contact me, and I'm looking for feedback on the Fringe reviews and anything else. You can go to the forums. You can go to the Google email group. You can go to the Google community group on G+. You can go to the Facebook group. You can also follow me on Twitter. Not a group there, but you can feel free to do that. And again, like I said, I'm really enjoying G+ for carrying on the conversations about the different episodes. But you, any way you want to do it, whatever makes you feel good. I just want to hear from you. Let me know you're listening. If you have any thoughts, etc. And that's it. This is Aaron for the Sci-Fi Dig podcast. Over and out.
Inside.